This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Audible.com. With more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals, for a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. Coming up on TMS, there's a new trend to talk about.
Comcast is really hard to talk to over the phone.
Getting rid of crap you'll never need again.
That Apple thing that happened.
People get really worked up over cartoon-based headstones.
Dude spent $100,000 to look just like Justin Bieber.
It's really gross. Gyllenhaal explains dramatic weight loss.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Therapy Thursday.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Excuse me, madam, but have you ever tried Soda Burst?
Oh, yes. I was the first on my block.
Then you know that Soda Burst is the real ice cream soda that makes itself at home?
I just loved it.
And you know there's a big scoop of ice cream and lots of real soda fountain fizz?
It was delicious.
Soda Burst's a real hit at parties and a favorite for snacks, too.
My grandson just loved it. He couldn't get enough.
And it comes in your four favorite flavors, all chocolate, black and white, strawberry, and pineapple.
Oh, yes, I remember. It was so hard to decide.
Woo-hoo! The Morning Stream.
Get that haircut in the army. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the latest pod fading podcast, The Morning Stream. Took a lot of heat over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And I was irritated because I'm in the middle of moving, and I'm naturally irritated because I'm in the middle of moving, so it's easy for me to go off the handle.
Sensitive.
Yeah,
maybe just a tiny bit.
Just a little tiny bit. But it's okay. We understand people are passionate about their content.
Sure.
I don't want to diminish that at all. We love that you love the show. So, yeah. You want to hear the short of what happened to me yesterday?
Yeah.
All right. I'm done with Del Taco. Del Taco is the worst thing ever made. In fact, you inform me it's not like dog meat at Taco Bell is the good kind of dog meat, right?
At least it's AKC registered dog meat as opposed to I think I described it as the alley meat that you get at Del Taco.
Yeah, like gross, like stray meat is what they use.
Right.
And I think I got a bad taco or two, and it messed me up good, like real bad, like food poisoning level stuff overnight. And by the time the morning rolled around, I had had, I don't know, 2 hours of sleep, and I was like, I'm not doing this today. Can't have a show. So that's what happened there. Day before that, or 2 days before that, Brian had a cold and couldn't do a show, and the week before that had another thing. So I could see how in some people's minds they're like, oh, what's going on? Their schedule is erratic. But it's fine. We're all here. This is the tree trunk to the Frog Pants Network, as far as I'm concerned. There is no show I'd rather be doing right now than this.
Because you couldn't do the instance right now because it's just me.
That's true.
But I know less about World of Warcraft than...
Hey, you know how to fan of knives?
I do know how to fan of knives.
You know how to sneak around half invisible and stuff?
I can sap and I can pickpocket.
Mm-hmm. This is just your real life job. But in the game...
If you were to name three abilities of other classes in the game...
Oh man,
I would not even be able to tell you what classes they go with. I mean, I could tell you like freeze trap. Okay, that's a hunter thing.
Sure. Okay, who's sunders?
No, I have no idea. So I'm gonna say druid.
Nope, that would be the that'd be the warrior. Who bloodlusts?
We all do at about 3 minutes into the fight.
I'm sorry. The correct answer is shaman. The correct answer is
darn.
Shaman.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Now we've taken care of two stones with one bird or whatever.
Exactly.
Anyway,
that's for people who listen to the instance as well and say, wow, you should have Brian on there even more.
Yeah.
This is why he doesn't.
Yeah.
See,
he'd be a perfect fourth chair. Why don't you do that? I get that a lot. People really enjoyed your time on there.
Yeah.
So we ought
to, in small doses, I can make it sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Small dose Brian, we're going to call him. That's great.
If Brian lasts for 4 hours or more, consult a physician.
All right. Well, speaking of things that lasted 4 hours or more, nice transition.
Wow.
I had the worst phone call with Comcast yesterday, and I had forgotten. So, you know, I spent probably the last 6 or 7 years with ISPs that couldn't be more further flung from the Comcast name or empire. Okay,
sure.
They've got nothing to do with them. They don't even provide even cable service out where I live. So they're just nobody. I haven't had to deal with them. So in my mind, I'm like, oh, you guys on the internet, you're so hard on Comcast. What's with all the hate? They can't be that bad. They're not the worst customer service you've ever had. Like, I was totally in their corner trying to defend them, even though I had no real direct experience with them. So come to current, the year is 2013, October, and okay. I am trying to set up dual ISPs at the new house that we're moving to next week. And those ISPs, one will be a fiber to the door, 100 meg down, something, something, business line thing. And the other one will be like what we use for everything else. And so I thought, hey, I'll use Comcast for that.
Mm-hmm. For the everything else one?
Yeah, for the everything else. And they also do fiber to the door on, you know, same line but separate fiber. So I can get this kind of dual awesome speed, blah, blah, blah. So I call her up and I talk to Nina, I think was her name. I'm not sure it was a real name. Those people don't use real names, do they?
I don't know. I mean, it really depends on if it sounds like it could possibly be a Nina.
Yeah. I mean, it was a girl, and she wasn't from India, so maybe a Nina. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I called and said, hey, my name is Scott. Moving to the South Jordan area here in Utah, in Salt Lake City, near Salt Lake City. I'd like to talk about what it would take to get bet, 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 bet. And she says, great, here are the plans we have. Something, something, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I really only need internet. Don't need any TV. We're unpluggers. She didn't seem to know what that word was. Mm-hmm. I said, we don't use regular TV at all. Don't have satellite or any of that. Just need really good, strong internet.
You probably don't want to call yourself a cable cutter.
No, probably not. Ooh,
not
good
to
point.
The Comcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're a cable cutter.
We're a cable cutter, and I need a new cable to cut.
what time is your technician going to be here?
So she says, her answer to me was, well, what are you going to use it for? She says. As if it somehow doesn't make any sense if you want just internet. And I said, well, it kind of took me back. I said, well, I'm just going to use it for internet. Well, what do your entertainment with? I said, well, we'd use that. We use things like Hulu Plus and Netflix and things like that. Oh, okay. I've heard of those. She actually said that. I've heard of those.
Okay.
So I'm thinking to myself, oh, shit. I'm in for it here. Because I'm one of those people who knows what he's doing. And they're not used to those. And I understand if I talk to the business services people, I'd probably get a different kind of vibe or whatever. But fine, I'm dealing with whoever I'm dealing with. Anyway,
Are you picturing a woman who's got glasses, like bejeweled glasses that are on a metal chain that goes around her neck?
Yeah,
that
she Aunt
has
Nina.
To pull up and,
yeah.
Right. And as she's typing, she tips her head back so she can see the screen with her glasses. And then she looks down at the keyboard and then she tips her head back so she can see the screen with the glasses.
Yeah, I am picturing that. And she's never seen Netflix in her life, only heard of it through legend and rumor.
Right.
So I said, this is great. What kind of deals? I go, I'm looking for, I'd love the highest speed you've got. And she says, well, we have 105. I don't know why that number is so arbitrary, but whatever. 105 meg down, she says. Okay. And that's, says right here, it's $114 a month. And I said, well, that's not too bad. Like that, I could maybe justify that from a business expense side. Sure. That sounds all right. She goes, oh, hold on. And I'm like, well, what's this about? She goes, that's the web price. I go, you mean the price on the internet where people can go see it? Because I'm looking at it now, and indeed it says 114 a month. She says, yeah, but we don't go off of that. We go off what's internal.
What?
And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to go off of? Okay. It's the internet. It's the publicly accessible pricing on the internet. She says, it's $249 per month.
Oh, my God.
And I said,
that's a big difference from the web price.
It's a huge difference. And I said, what's the difference? She goes, we don't know. We're just the salespeople.
Say, you know what? After careful consideration, I think I'll take the web price.
I've thought long and hard. Right. And they have all this stuff online that says price subject to change. I'm like, oh, geez. Well, maybe that's what I'm dealing with here. But this is where it gets worse. So now I'm thinking, well, I'll just get one of your lower speeds and pay a normal human price for something. And that's going on in my head. But then I started to think, oh, I wonder if there's a problem with the fiber coming from the one guy's. Because at this point, I didn't know about whether you could dual off that thing with two ISPs. So I thought one line into the house meant one ISP and nobody else could use it. So I wasn't sure how that worked. So I say to her, this seems like a thing they would know. I say to her, all right, look, I've got CenturyLink fiber going into the house now. We've already established that account. That'll be set up next week. Is there any conflict with you guys doing that too? Like, are you going to have to share the lines? Like, how does that work? Do you have your own lines? Mm, and she goes, we're just the salespeople. We don't know this. And I said, she really said, we don't know this, is what she said. So okay. I said, I'm starting to get kind of incredulous. And I say, well, who knows this? Because I would need to know.
Can you put me on the phone with somebody who does know these things?
She goes, the tech support people are the only ones who will know this. And I said, all right, do you transfer me? Nope, you got to call this number. So I said, all right, let me write that down. She goes, 855 something, something, blah, dibber, dibber, do. And I write it down. She goes, okay. And I said, all right, thanks. I'll give that a shot. She goes, oh, hold on a second. Hold on. Did that again. I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong number. Let me give you another number. And then she gives me another
number. That's the web number.
That's the web number. This other number has 14 digits, and you have to do it in an English accent. Okay? And so she gives me this new number.
I gave you an IP address. Hold on.
I gave you the new price for whatever it is you're buying. Seven-digit price. Anyway, so she says, she gives me the new number. And I said, now, we're sure this is it? She goes, oh, yes. I've double-checked it. And I said, okay, great. Thanks very much. I hang up. And I call this new number, to which a guy named Michael answers and goes, well, first of all, their greeting is, thank you for calling Comcast, the home of awesome. We are da blah, 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 blah. And then you get to the guy and he goes, hello, my name is Jeff from a freaking fracka. Like, he's this most grumpiest sounding guy ever. Does not match the voice on the other thing, which I think companies should do. I think you should match the quality of the energy of your pre-recorded message.
Sure. If not the actual voice, then at least, you know, so there's not a drop in, hi and welcome.
Right. It's like, you want fries with that? Yes. What else can I get you? It's like that weird disconnect at a McDonald's drive-up. Anyway, so I talk to this dude, or I get on the phone with this guy named Jeff. And Jeff says to me, how can I help you? I said, well, here's the deal. And I'm very technical about it because he's tech support. I say, we've got this other ISP that's running on fiber. You guys are going to come there and install something. They told me in the sales department you'd have an answer for this. Is it a problem that that other ISP will be on those lines? Will that make it possible or impossible for you guys to install anything so I don't go through the rigmarole of having you come out there or for nothing or not, you know? I mean, I make it real clear that I'm doing you a favor by not having your driver come out and find out he can't do it, you know?
Right.
And wasting your time. Exactly. So he says, well, yeah, we can totally help you with that. All I need from you now is your Comcast customer account number, please. And I said, well, I don't have one. I don't have an account.
Yeah, I don't have an account yet.
I would have one after I order it because you told me I could do it. And he says, oh, well, I can't help you then. And I said, well, so you can't tell me if that's going to be okay from a technical standpoint so I can go get the account.
Let's say my account number is 1234567.
Right. Let me just make this up. Now, can you do it now? Now will you give me some help? So I said to him, well, you understand the loop here. And this is after a couple of go-rounds where he says, I can't give you support unless we have a customer number. I go, but I can't be a customer until I know if I can do it. Right. Then I'll have a number. I can't do it unless you go. You have to get a customer number. I said, well, you can't just tell me if it's a problem. I can't tell you at all.
Oh, my God.
I said, well, who can tell me this? The salespeople can tell you this. So then I woke up. They were playing the same song on the radio, and I ran into Ned Meyerson again on my way to freaking work, and I stepped in a hole in the street with water in it. Holy shit!
No kidding.
I was so irritated. So guess what happened?
Put me back on with Nina.
Oh, that was the other thing. At the end of this, I said, well, then can you I'm getting irritated. So and I'm not much of an irritable guy on the phone. I try to give everyone, you know, benefit of the doubt. I'm like, this with waiters. I'm not a jerk online or on phones.
Sure, of course.
But by the end, I'm like, well, can you send me there again? I can totally transfer you there. Okay, thanks a lot, Jeff. So he puts me on this hold with no music, dead silence, and about a half an hour of nothing.
The freight elevator of their phone system, basically, is what you're in now.
Yes. It's the void's butthole. There's nothing happening in there.
Right.
So they put me in there, and I'm in there forever. 30 minutes later, I'm still on the phone.
Oh, my God.
And there's no nothing. There's no voice saying,
please
hold.
There's nothing to indicate that you're actually on hold.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing. As far as I know, he's just covering the mouthpiece and is listening
to me. Glass of water.
Yes. So I stayed in that limbo state for the longest time ever, and I finally went, you know what? Forget about this. So I hung up on that, and I called the other ISP who already is setting my stuff up, who's already come through on their end, And I got on their system. Now, theirs is all like an Apple-y system, which is like, you know, you say everything and it takes you where you want to go.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah. They, and then when they work well, those are pretty cool. And it's, this thing works pretty well, but it's got a long, it's a long path. It's been a long, what's, how's the song go? It's been a long trip.
It's been a long road.
Getting from here to here. There you go. And that's how this was. So it was a lot of talking, a lot of like giving my number out, talking, saying yes and no and all this stuff. So it finally says, gets this point after, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes in. Let me connect you with an author, or with somebody who can help you. Please stay on the line. Boop. I hear music for about 5 seconds. And then this evil robot lady voice comes on and goes,
you have had error. Disconnecting.
And it hangs up on me. And I'm not kidding about the voice. That is, she was like some robot. Oh,
you have had
error. And she said, you have had error.
You have had error.
You have had error. Disconnecting. So I was like, well, that seemed weird. So I figured one off, that was just one tiny, you know, sure. I got to go try it again.
One glitch in the system that you managed to find.
Yeah. So I get in again. I do the whole rigmarole again to get to the end. Let me connect you with somebody who can help you. 5 seconds of music.
You have had error.
I get it again. So I'm ready to just basically throw my hands up. Where did I finally get the information? I have a friend who lives out near that area who says, oh, yeah, they can do two ISPs. It's not a problem. So finally, some word-of-mouth friend of mine gave me the answer I needed. Holy cow, is the entire ISP industry just got their heads so far up their butts, they're actually peeking out of their nostrils. Ugh.
Wow.
There's that story. Enjoy that. Chew on that for a while, everybody.
They're just not used to working with people who know what they're getting and who have questions. You know, it's like, hi, I need ISP so I can... get on Facebook and tell my friends and my knitting circle what I'm doing.
And all these services they want to sell you up to. Like the first guy at the other place, which was admittedly a much easier process than the Comcast one when Kim called it. But they always want to add all the grandma services. You know, like that.
Sure.
Well, do you want 24-hour, 7-day-a-week email protection? Like, no, because I'm not going to use your shitty email.
Exactly.
I'm not going near that with a 20-foot pole. Do you want to have the free recommended movie selection something monthly bullshit hoo-ha? No, I don't. I want a nice-ass raw connection is what I want.
Exactly, exactly. Give me the raw dough. I'll cook what I want.
Yeah, you give me what I want. Hey, you're going to give me a router? Great. Walk away. Just walk away.
Right.
I got this.
You can even drop the router off at the front door. I'll take it from there.
Yeah, which I think is kind of happening next Wednesday, so... Which is a good point to bring up. I don't know what this does to shows because the soonest they can come is Wednesday, and we don't know on Comcast yet because they're still, you know, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell they're doing.
Oh boy, that's it. It's all over.
That's it. We're pod fading. That's out. I'm out of podcasting, everybody. Good night. I'm out.
We can get a nomination for best comedy podcast or whatever, and the show's not going to be around anymore.
Well, fantastic. On our way out the door. One final slap on the ass, we'll get an award for it.
By the way, when do nominations? Let me check podcast awards here.
Should be soon, right? Because
usually it's like 2 weeks after, right?
I want to say that's right.
October 27th. So this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
We're gonna do it live over a video stream.
That's right. I'm gonna announce the nominations and try not to tell you who's eventually gonna win.
I'm gonna skip ahead. Oops, I've said too much. Yeah, he may as well just give him away on the announcement. Just give him away then. Don't worry about Vegas.
Right.
Then
right.
No one will care. Well, I don't know what's going on with that. But so I don't, you know, I may be able to do some supplementary things next week and then upload them at a coffee shop or something.
Okay.
But I don't know, you know, getting people on Skype and dealing with that whole mess, I don't know how any of that's going to go.
Why don't
until
we just
Wednesday.
Record in that very same coffee shop?
All right. Let's do it.
Perfect.
I'll call you from my notebook.
Let's just meet in Green River, do a few live shows while the rest of your family moves all your shit, and then we're good.
I'll come 5 hours that way, and we'll have sushi, and it'll all work out in the end. So there you go. That's life as we know it. One last thing.
Yeah.
We're moving, as you know.
Yes.
And I would like your advice.
Okay.
So I imagine, 10 years almost in this house, we have a lot of crap that we probably put in a box and shoved in a corner and didn't worry about. And a lot of the stuff was in a box when we moved, and it stayed in a box, and there it is still in a box. And now we have to move it again.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through all of that. We decided not to be those people where we're just like, oh, let's just keep moving it one to the next and letting it collect more dust and not even knowing what's inside that box. So we opened up a bunch of stuff, and here's the problem I ran into. all my old life drawing sketches from college, all my old stuff from high school, my old high school newspapers, all this kind of stuff. One thing, so some of that stuff I kept, some of it I chucked because it was like, you know, the news, newsprint sketches were terrible. They were falling apart. And they were, you know, they're better for compost than they are for art. So I just, you know, got rid of that stuff. But
right.
I did find this old bag. I have this old bag of pencils of my drawing stuff. And I want to say, like, it's a bag that a lady would keep her makeup stuff in.
But, okay, but like I padded maybe?
Kind of, a little bit, but it doesn't look too feminine. It's just like,
floral, pink?
No, none of that. That's the thing. It's like a stupid, nondescript kind of green, so there's nothing fancy going on. But inside of it, I would keep all my Micron pens, retractable pencils, kneaded erasers. You know,
your Kohinoor.
Yeah.
Right, ink pens, yes.
Oh my gosh, dude. Back in the day.
Yes.
So
I found a big box of those, by the way. Big box of Kohinoor.
Oh my gosh.
Those great pens that, man, you had to get the little plastic cartridges to fill them up. And
they were expensive as hell.
Yeah, they were.
They were great, though. You go to Rules Art and Frame here locally, and I'd pick up those, and it would cost me way too much. And I'd buy a 75 pack of the, what were those pencils called? Prismacolor pencils. Remember those?
Oh, Prismacolors. Yes.
Dude.
Yes.
They were the bomb. Anyway, and they were like $100 for that thing, and I had to save all the money to get it. Anyway, so I'm finding all these kinds of things, and I'm pure digital man now, right? All digital man. Digital man. What's his power? What does he do?
He's able to travel the speeds of the web at 200 gigabytes per second.
That's pretty good.
Excelsior.
That's pretty good.
All of a sudden, I sound like Justin Robert Young there.
I was going to say. Or that guy less from It's like, Always Charlie Day.
Yeah, same thing.
All right. Yeah, it is the same thing. So what was my point? Oh, so I find this thing with all these old pencils.
His vulnerabilities are women named Nina.
I'm never going to use these pencils again is my point. I'm never going to crack that thing open and use that Micron pen again. It's not. They're old. I bet they're dried up anyway. That's the thing, is the pens are probably dead. They're easily 15 plus years old.
Oh, yeah. Once the ink dries up in there, those things are useless.
Yeah, they're crap. So... But there's a piece of me that will not let go of that thing. And I said to Kim, no, I don't know if we... She goes, really? We're going to keep these? I'm like, Like, there's a piece of me like this... Suddenly, it's A&E and I'm a hoarder guy, you know? But even though it's just this one bag of pencils, but I feel like that's where it starts. Yeah. And you'll see those episodes where the lady will come out and go, I am not getting rid of this dead cat. It means so much more to me than you know. Like, I'm suddenly that lady. About this bag of pencils. And I had the hardest time, and I did it though. I want the world to know I did it. But how do you, so there's the question I turn to you. How do you force yourself past your nostalgic tendency toward practicality and de-junk things that you know just you're not going to need or use and they don't really mean as much to you as you think they do? Like, what do you do?
It is exactly like the scene in the final Indiana Jones movie. Or I'm sorry, not the final one. The final of the first trilogy, Last Crusade, where Indy takes that leap of faith and basically just sticks his front leg out and leans forward. And oh, lo and behold, there's actually a little platform there that you can walk across.
Wow.
And it's basically just saying, you know, my wife is right about this. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to let it go.
Wow. You pulled the nerdiest way to explain it, though. I love it. No, that's a great way to think about it, because you really do have to kind of lean into it, don't you?
You totally do. You're just like, okay, yeah, nothing's going to happen. Just let it, you know.
Like his dad said, let it go, Indy, let it go.
Exactly, yes.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
You just got to listen to Kim. I listened to Tina. We did this whole big cleaning out the closet thing.
Yeah.
When I found that sketchbook, I had no idea the sketchbook with Jack Kirby's signature on it.
Right.
And we're throwing all this stuff and I'm like, oh, what's this? And I'm looking through and see my old art. And then I come across that page. It's like, okay, this we're keeping.
Right.
All that stuff. Fine. It can go.
Yeah. I'd think you were crazy if you didn't keep that. Like that, you got to go with. But I realize it's so easy for me to say to my kids, Nick, get rid of that old toy gun. Who needs that? And wonder why he's so attached to it. But now I think I understand. The pencil bag has taught me.
It's tough.
Yeah. Because it represents a different era for me, you know, like a different time.
I still
time.
Have so many art supplies from college. I have the tackle box, the fishing tackle box.
Yep, we all had one.
Keep all your stuff in. Yep. And
in fact, that's where my pencil bag was, by the way, was in the fishing tackle box.
Yeah.
Which we maybe, did keep because we put some tools in it when we
maybe I live stream opening the tackle box and just going through there because I'm sure there's some really bizarre crap in there.
Yeah. I like it. If I was a wrestler, I'd name myself the tackle box, by the way. It's a pretty good name.
What would be your finishing move?
Tackle box. My finishing move would be I don't know. It'd be something fun like the kneaded eraser.
The fish hook.
Yeah, or the fish hook. I don't know. What do you? The smelly compartment. The salmon eggs fell out in.
The jar of glowing eggs.
Oh no! Not the jar of glowing eggs. I can smell what the rock is cooking.
Out the jar of glowing eggs.
Brilliant. All right, folks. It's time for Community Stump a Trek Nerd. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Get the new Walter White Let's Cook Apron with artwork by Scott. Available now at tiny.cc/WaltApron.
Oh, yeah. Get that now. It's up there.
Yeah.
Fun times. Also, that I put that Bambi print up. I think I may have mentioned that.
Zambi Bambi.
So for those who were asking, and there were a number of you, it is up there and available at frogpants.com/store. Okay. What am I doing here? Oh, let's do Stump a Trek Nerd. So Daryl's still not here. Not with us.
He's been hanging out in the Magic Kingdom. We've been seeing tweets and photos. Mm-hmm. Yep. Went to Cars World.
Yep.
Or Cars Land or whatever.
How do you feel about Pixar? I feel like they're creepier than just regular ones. So, like, you have Mickey and Minnie and all them and Donald Duck. And they look in the big suits the guys wear on the street.
Oh, yeah. The mascot costumes. Yeah. Sure.
The Pixar ones are way creepier to me. And I can't quite figure out why. There's a Uncanny Valley thing going on, maybe, or something, because you got giant-headed Mr. Incredible walking around. I
haven't seen that one. I think the Toy Story folks work. It works just fine for the Toy Story ones. I haven't seen the
Woody and Buzz and all that. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because Daryl put some video of, like, a parade, and they had the Incredible family all riding on these scooters. And it just freaks you out. I don't think that looks right at all. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff on the line. Hi, Cliff.
Cliff. Hey, guys.
How you doing, man?
Cliff.
I'm feeling good. Ready to take a stab.
Oh, sweet. Because we got a Star Trek question for you, and it's
Do you want to guess a letter? You want to Kreskin and see if you can guess the
hold it. If it's wrong, we won't hold that against you. But
hermetically sealed on a mayonnaise jar on the front porch.
Yes.
The answer No. I can't do Karnak too early.
Ask your grandparents out there who will use to
now,
watch
Scott, Carson. I'm looking at today's question.
Yeah.
And it looks a lot like Tuesday's question. Is it just me?
I'm not gonna argue with you there because I think he screwed that up. Hold on. Because I just put this in this morning, but it said it was or wait, have we not done that one then?
Are my 10 seconds already starting?
No, you're good.
No,
you're
okay, good. Just making sure.
You're
just
good
sure.
While we deal with our technical difficulties.
The one we did Tuesday.
Okay, if that's the case, then I have a quick fix for that, which goes a little something like this. Hold on. Okay, here we go. I found it. All right. Don't worry. Worry not.
I'm calm.
This way we know that...
Here's a question. Did you hear Tuesday's show?
I can't keep track of which show is which at this week. The way the week is gone, which show is which?
Yeah, who knows? Because the pod fading has made it hard for us to know what's going on.
It's not pod fading, but we are wondering what day is 500 actually going to hit?
Oh, good question. Yeah, today, let's see. I can tell you right now. So, let's see. Frogpants.com/TMS. All right. So, look at this here. We are currently at 497 episodes. Today's 498. That's today. 499 will be probably next week if we can get one in. So I think our very next episode will be, the 500 will be at the top of the week right before BlizzCon. So Monday, if all goes well and internet willing, Monday, the first or second or whatever it is. Is it the fourth? Okay.
Yep.
That'll be episode 500. So enjoy yourselves, everyone. Good times.
All right.
My calendar, by the way, is telling me that today is United Nations Day. So happy United Nations Day to all.
Oh, great. Muscle in
there. Do you have your United Nations tree decorated?
I do. I put my little, I decorated it with a lot of anemic, can't really do anything kind of stuff.
I asked the government to decorate it for me, and they haven't gotten to it yet. Yeah. So,
well, you're supposed to do it. You have an ornament on one that represents world conflict somewhere. Then you put an ornament right next to it that says, you can't do that. And then another ornament says F off and nobody does anything. So that's how I celebrate the UN Day. I'm not nearly that cynical about it. But anyway, here you go. Here's your question, Cliff.
Alrighty.
In the Deep Space Nine episode, The Jem'Hadar, Jake and Nog are on a runabout ship. Oh, I hated this one. I hate anything with the kids in it. Anyway, they need some Fannings in that movie, or that show. Anyway, Jake's tries, is what he wrote, to get the ship back to Deep Space Nine, but can't because he doesn't have the authorization codes. The computer says another ship is approaching them, but it has quickly gone to warp. They believe the ship didn't see them. After this, Jake suggests turning off one of the ship's systems. What system did they say they should turn off? Was it A, the ship's sensors, B, the ship's communications, C, the ship's autopilot, or D, the ship's engines? Which of those things kept them the safest? And your 15 seconds, we're giving you 15 today, starts now. Chat room, you guys shut up in there. Don't give them any answers, you bastards.
I'm trying to think of what's the scariest thing to give up, because I can't remember this episode.
Right.
Try to forget.
I'm gonna lean on the riskiest move would be to cut life support. That seems the scariest thing that they would have to make the decision about.
That's true, except that one's not on here. All we have is sensors, communications, autopilot, and engines.
Okay, I was looking at the chat room a little bit.
Okay. you can't go off the board.
I'll own it. I was looking at the chat room. I'm like, life support.
That's brilliant.
No, I will go with autopilot.
Okay, autopilot. Autopilot seems like a thing to turn off, unless it's the podcast.
It's a frog pants show. So more of a tie. Right. Yeah. So.
Episode 2 up yesterday. The Mystery Science Theater 3000 unaired pilot is what we covered. So watch that at autopilotshow.com. All right, here you go. Let's find out from the judges. If he is indeed correct, is it the autopilot systems?
Congratulations!
Nice!
You're a winner!
You've done it. It was the autopilot. Suggests they turn off the pilot. Nog asks how they will do that. Jake says he'll have to see if what he learned working for Miles O'Brien will work. Here's a clip of Nog freaking out when the computer says another ship is approaching. Here you go. This is Nog.
Computer! Evasive maneuvers! Fire phasers! Lost torpedoes! And escape pods!
Good Lord. That's terrible.
I think that was me on my wedding night.
No. Here's another scene where Quark sets himself on fire in this same episode.
Ah! I'm on fire! Ah! I'm on fire!
Lord, what's going on with the Ferengis in this
episode?
That
sounds like the worst show ever.
It really does. I love Deep Space Nine. What the heck, man? All right, well, there you have it. And congratulations, Cliff. You've done it.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
We will be sending you. You got to send me a little private message in the chat there, and I will get your address, and we will send you a prize package, a mystery prize package from TMS.
Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Take it easy. I'm going to hang up on you now because I'm delaying talking. Here we go. Remove from group. Goodbye.
Okay. Do we want to eat something before we?
Yeah. Why don't? All right. How about? Hold on. Let's eat two things.
Okay.
You want to eat that soda pop finally? That root beer. St. Arnold root beer.
Oh yeah, the one I refrigerated mine, right?
Yeah. Do you have it handy?
I can grab it very quickly and easily.
What do you want to eat out of those? Those fake French fries that we've never eaten.
Oh, yeah.
You know the ones? All right.
The ones that are the multicolored red, blue, yellow.
Yeah. They look like sweet potato kind of things. All right, I better...
Grabbing my root beer now.
I better play this. Where is it? Here we go. Right here.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
All right, we're gonna go ahead and do that. Let's see here. I'm gonna open these up while Brian's grabbing his hooch. Now, I think this is one of those root beer bottles you have to have the thing for. I'm not sure, actually. Let's see. Oh, gosh. I bet I do. Oh, no. I'm good. Okay. By the way, that top would come off without a bottle opener.
Although, really? Because I've got my cool Han Solo and Carbonite.
Well, I was going to say, you and your drinking habits, you probably have one right near your computer. So
I do.
Yeah. So you can still use it. This is St. Arnold root beer. On the cap, it says yummy root beer.
It sure does.
From Texas. And I forgot to get his name. I've consolidated my box, so I don't know if...
This came from...
He sent us a six-pack. That's not him.
Yes, I've got the letter actually back in the box if you need me to go grab it, if you don't have yours handy.
I don't have it at all anywhere.
Okay, give me 3 seconds.
All right, 3 seconds. In three, two...
Three more seconds.
Oh, three more? Okay. Three more now? All right.
3 more seconds.
It's like being on hold at Comcast.
I should have said 9 seconds.
That's all right. That's all right. It turned out fine.
Cheese Hunter.
Thank you, Cheese Hunter, for
Dustin
that.
Kasyager.
Kasyager. Got it.
Kasyager.
The Japanese stuff from our Japanese stash, and I think what the goal is we should try one of each color here.
Oh, yeah. He sent me the coolest Ghostbusters t-shirt, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I got that, too. I got one, too. Thank you for that. That guy's awesome.
Yes.
We love him. All right, I'm eating all three colors of these weird chip things.
Oh, we're doing the chips first?
Yeah, they look like McDonald's french fries that have sat in your car for a week.
The ones that you find under the seat?
Yeah.
That's actually the three stages that the McDonald's...
So the first one looks like a normal french fry. That's at 5 years.
That's right.
The purple one is at 20 years, and the purple or the dark purple one is a millennium. So
that's right.
Enjoy. These aren't bad.
I got one of each as well. There we go.
They just taste like old french fries. Or like the crispy one you get at the bottom of your thing.
Uh-huh.
They're good.
They are good.
I don't hate them.
Red's good.
I'm going to wash them down with this.
Purple's good.
Oh, that's some fine root beer. Oh, St. Arnold, patron saint of root beer. Well, that's a weird picture on the front. Check that out. You see that guy? Yeah. with his little doll people? I don't like that.
That is weird.
Probably means something. All right. That was good. Thank you, both people who sent us those. Those are great. Those are fantastic.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Good, right?
That's awesome, root beer.
Yeah, cold, too. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's enough of that.
The only way to drink the beer.
Enough of that business. Here you go. It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Retro, the multi-format throwback video game magazine. Just search for the word retro on Kickstarter and support it today.
I know. Kim, by the way, says the patron saint of root beer should be Barks. But you're talking about the good stuff. But it's the good stuff from where you live, where you grew up, not the crap we buy here, yeah. Because they make it different down there.
Yeah.
So good in the South. Anyway. Oh, and now the cat's in here.
Oh, no.
What hast thou wrought? Kitty, get out of here. All right. Make the neighbor keep him.
Put him in a box.
Yeah, put him in a box. Make the neighbor take
it. Doorstep.
Hey, that Apple thing happened.
Yeah.
You might be familiar with it. Apple got up. We were supposed to talk to Tom about it yesterday, but then I had the Del Tacos. They got up, did a big announcement, and regardless...
By the way, that's Del Tacos is the name of my Del Fuegos cover band.
The name of my... can't think of it.
Your Delamitri cover band?
My Pepto-Bismol cover band. The Apple stuff happened. Tim Cook and crew got up, talked about stuff. Phil Schiller accidentally referred to the Dark Knight trilogy as the Black Knight trilogy, which is fantastic. Did you catch that by chance?
Yes.
That was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, he loves that Martin Lawrence project. I did not realize that he'd done three of those movies.
Well,
but, all right,
sure. They have special access. They own, Apple's a big shareholder in CBS and Disney now. And they can get a hold of the Black Knight trilogy pretty easily.
But he even brought the joke back and said something like, Black Knight Rises, don't call us, or something like that.
Yeah, and then he even said, it's okay to be a closet Black Knight fan. I'm like, dude, you're talking about the wrong movie, Phil. Stop talking about it.
Right.
Because you're a genius with hardware. You do not understand what Batman is. But my joke on Twitter yesterday was, Christian Bale was the worst black man ever. There you go. So here's the deal. Let's see. What was I going to... Oh, there's an interesting article that's titled, In the Tablet War, the New iPads Have the Best Answer to the Question, What Do I Do with This Thing? Which is kind of the question you have about tablets generally. Like, what are these for?
Right.
And the new iPads generally answer that. But I would argue that the strength of the App Store and other things have already sort of answered that for people. The big differences here are faster, thinner, lighter, better.
Mm-hmm.
or some other lyrics to a
Daft Punk song. Yeah.
Very Daft Punkian. So were you impressed? What'd you like? What'd you see?
Nothing that made me rush out and place an order for one of the new iPads. I love the fact that the Mini now has Retina display.
Yeah.
Refresh my memory. Neither one of these still have the ring, the ID ring that you've got on your iPhone 5S,
no,
right?
No, the finger touch ID is not
in the new on there yet.
Pad. Yeah, not yet. Available online and in stores November 1st, by the way, for the big one. And that's the iPad Air, they're calling it now.
Right.
And the iPad
Which
Mini.
I don't have a problem with the name, whatever.
Well, I don't know why people have a problem with the name. Who cares?
They should have called it the Black Knight iPad is what it should be called.
I mean, what are they going to call it? The iPad 5th generation? Is that what they want to call it?
Exactly.
That's stupid,
well,
too.
Well, you could. iPad 5, sure.
I think they're trying to differentiate it into the high-end fancy beast, and the Mini is the new workhorse. That's what I think.
The problem with going that direction is now next year, is it going to be the iPad Air 2?
Well, see, this is the problem always, right?
Yeah.
Like, they have to keep, like, is the Mini, now because they can only do this for a year, the iPad Mini with Retina. That's right. The new name for the Mini. I think what they should do.
Oh, no. Is that really what it's called?
Yeah, it's just iPad Mini with Retina display.
Oh, geez.
Well, that's how to describe it. So when you buy a Mini, you're buying the Mini with Retina.
You're buying the Mini 2, iPad Mini 2.
Yeah. Which also sounds dumb. Boy, they all sound dumb, don't they? But see, iMacs, they don't revision an iMac and say, hey, it's the new iMac 5. So I think they should just call these things the iPad and the iPad Mini, and just every year there's a better one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like with the Macs. Why not? With PCs and computers, they've always done this. So why do you have to keep naming them?
Here's why. Because of cases.
Oh, good point.
Because when you go online and you say, all right, I need a case. Oh, you need it for the iPad? Yes. Oh, this does not fit my iPad. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have iPad 3. You have the iPad 2nd generation.
But this was a problem with iPods for a long time with cases and carrying stuff and all that.
Right.
And the Nano or whatever. They never went, this is the Nano 3 or the
Nano
5.
But they would still call it 2nd generation Nano, 3rd generation Nano.
Well, they would. We would. See what I mean?
We would.
We made it up. So that's why I think we should do it.
Would.
We should come up with that. So they should just say, here's the iPad, and it's you and I who say, I need a case. Which one is it? Oh, it's like 5th generation. And they just get you that one. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they're trying to differentiate them when they don't need to, is my opinion. But we'll see.
Sure.
The iPad has always been screwy that way. iPad, then iPad 2, and then they went, nah, it's just the iPad with Retina. Now it's 4th generation, but still just calling it an iPad. Well, now it's an Air? Like, what the hell are you guys doing over there? It is a little bit weird.
It is a little weird. So is there going to be an iPad Mini Air next year that's lighter than the current generation iPad Mini?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah.
I think the
Mini,
I mean, because the new iPad Air is as thin as the Mini, because they're basically equal now in terms of thickness. But I want that Mini Retina one. I'll say it now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A7 chip, that's all very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, the speed, actually, that would be the thing. The Retina screen, sure, that'll be nice. I don't really notice. When I'm looking at it now, I don't see any issues with clarity on the screen. It looks beautiful to me.
I think if you had them next to each other, it would bug you.
Oh, I'm sure it would. Yeah. No. Exactly.
Yeah. That would drive you nuts, but
if I were to find a really stellar discount on it, then I would do it, but on its own, it's not enough to make me plunk down the $300-$400.
You heard it here first. Brian is another year in with his current Mini, unless
or at least until I leave it in an Alamo rental car.
In November, you got a chance.
That's right. I am renting a car from Alamo. My first time using Alamo since last year's debacle.
Yeah.
Oh no! Earlier this year, it was Austin, Texas.
This year. You're right.
February. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. Family cemetery at odds over a pair of granite SpongeBob headstones. Take that headline and do whatever you want with it. It's in a bizarre controversy.
Hold on. Did we want to talk about any of the other Apple things?
Oh, like sort of. Mavericks came out. It's installed. I'm running it. Looks great. No problems.
Using it here too. If you're a podcaster and you're listening to the sound of my voice and you have not already installed GarageBand, don't do it.
Do it if you don't care about ACC chaptered stuff. But if you do, then you're screwed.
Yeah, right, exactly. Mm. Exactly.
And Brian has always gone through the trouble when that was available. The extra work to give that to fans who want it.
And because of that, I'm not going to install GarageBand on my production machine. Yep. I've got it on my other machine. Actually, I put it on there as a test because I was like, oh, let's take a look at the new GarageBand since it's free and available right now.
Yeah.
And as soon as I opened it up and I saw new project and podcast, create a podcast wasn't listed there.
Yeah.
That,
here's what I believe has happened with that. I think Apple has, they have access to all of the statistical data about every MP3 or ACC or any file type that is linked through RSS feeds on the iTunes directory. So they can search all that stuff in a giant swoop, and they can literally see, oh, there's like five people doing ACCs or whatever the number is.
Right. AAC, by the way.
AAC. I keep saying that air conditioning. So they see that. And I think that they made a decision based on that. That's what I think.
Yeah.
And it's too bad because
it is too bad.
You know, you've got a lot of people who really love that.
Yeah. I mean, probably a good third of my listeners get the AAC version because if you're listening to Coverville and for whatever reason, I know what happens. I'm willing to accept it. If you don't like the current song that's playing, you hit the next button and it goes to the next song in my podcast. Sure. It doesn't go to the next podcast in your player. It just goes to the next song.
Yeah.
And people love that. People love the ability to just jump down.
And visually there's an advantage because you got album art.
Oh, you get album art. Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
But
Jobs himself got up on stage and demoed this.
God, I know. He was super excited about it. So I'm hoping, I'm going to keep using the old one. I'm going to keep doing AAC podcasts for as long as I can. And
maybe there's other tools out there that do it that we don't know about, or, who knows? Maybe something comes out of this, or maybe Apple reverses it and adds the functionality. Who knows?
Exactly. If
enough people freak out, things can happen. I just have a feeling that percentage-wise, it wasn't worth it to them or something. It wasn't worth the development switch.
I mean, even their podcast app on their iOS devices, it'll let you go chapter by chapter and go to the next song, but it doesn't show you the title of the current chapter. So even if I put the title of the song in there, you don't see it in the podcast app. Now, if you use something like Downcast or another podcast client, even works on Windows, works on Android, you can get, AAC players on every platform.
Sure.
But for whatever reason, Apple's own their software.
Own, yeah, their own
support
AAC, which they championed as a format originally for DRM because it had DRM functionality. MP3s didn't, but for sound quality and other things. And now they're not even let. It's weird. It's a weird thing to pull out.
It's really weird. Yeah. It is really weird.
Only thing I can think of is, like I said, is they were revamping this thing. They're like, well, how much of this do we not need to redo?
Exactly. And they're giving GarageBand a completely music focused, which is fine. It just would have been nice if they would have said, okay, we still have people who are producing podcasts. Let's give them the ultimate tool separate from GarageBand, like Apple iPodcast producer thing.
Yeah.
And do that and
iCast for short.
Right, exactly.
Look at that. That would have been great.
I'm sure that's not taken.
probably is. This thing with the headstones, it's all stupid. There's just some family who's pissed about these big giant headstones. So it's dumb. So don't worry about it.
Oh, I love the story.
Oh, all right. I'll read more of it. In a bizarre controversy involving a final resting place of slain soldier Sergeant Kimberly Walker of Cincinnati, the 28-year-old was found dead in Colorado Springs, Colorado hotel room on Valentine's Day. Walker's boyfriend, also a soldier, was charged with first-degree murder in connection with her death. Now, this isn't the part Brian loves yet, okay?
No. Yeah, this. I'm not grinning over this.
No.
It's horrible.
The murder left the Walker family numb and wondering why something like this could happen. 8 months later, her family said they've encountered a controversy over a monument of the cartoon character SpongeBob SquarePants at Walker's gravesite in the historic Spring Grove Cemetery. They say it has caused them more pain and more disbelief. Deborah Walker, Kimberly's mother, said her daughter loved SpongeBob. Deborah and Kimberly had all types of SpongeBob items, including her shower curtains. SpongeBob went in her casket before we laid her in the ground, Deborah said. In March, the family ordered two 7,000-pound SpongeBob SquarePants monuments, costing more than $13,000 each. The family received an approval to erect these monuments, signed the contract, started the design, and paid 10% of the upfront price, or the price up front. And now people are freaking out and saying it's terrible and they should take them out of there. You know what I say? It's a cemetery full of bodies of people who don't give two shits what's in there anyway. Why do you care? If you have to drive through there to see grandma's grave and you see two big monuments of SpongeBob, Why is that such a problem? Big whoop.
Yeah.
Let him be.
Now, have you seen the? Have you seen these headstones?
No, there's a video here. Oh, yeah. These are the ones I thought they were. Yeah. Where he's wearing like army.
It looks like he's wearing. So he's wearing army uniform, which is a cool tribute. But it's not a headstone that has a picture of SpongeBob on it. It is a giant SpongeBob. It is a 4 foot high SpongeBob.
Yeah, a huge marble SpongeBob in black and white to make it look like an old 20s movie cartoon almost.
Right. Yeah.
And he's wearing like army fatigue pants and, you know, the helmet and stuff. It's right. Is it unusual? Yes. Is it a little bit weird? Yes. Is it a problem? No.
No.
Just let him be. Who cares? Why people get all worked up over stuff like this? I don't get it.
The arms really don't look right either.
No, there's something. Well, because they'd be they're too skinny in the cartoon. They'd break because they're just like noodles.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Noodles with gloves on.
Link. There's a link in the tadpole, folks, if you want to see the
legs, too. Legs are weird.
The legs are weird, yeah.
But again, that's probably not a necessity.
But the pants are truly square.
Right, as they should be.
Yes.
Audible.com is sponsoring this program today. Audible.com, the ultimate in audiobook entertainment. I don't know about you, but if I don't have a good podcast to listen to, my favorite thing in the world is to pop on a good book and to run around the park or get on the treadmill or just, you know, commute. Whatever it is I have to do, I want to hear something good. And I like all the fantasy novels. I like all the stuff. I'm really into this Hugh Howley book, the Wool series, the Silo series, which is so freaking fantastic. There's an audiobook version of that. You can go check that out. All the stuff we're into, you can get it. They're read by great people. They're unabridged. And there's a really easy, cheap way to get in early here. All you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. Use the code... No, that's it. Morningstream. That's the address. Audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. And that will get you a free audiobook of your choice. You don't have to take our recommendations. Just get whatever you want. Anything in there. Periodicals. 150,000 titles. Plenty to choose from at audible.com. That's audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. Check them out today. Time for some quick celebrity poop.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's celebrity poop, and it's Brunty Bar.
Tom Merritt's new series of monthly Kindle singles for the chronology of tech history, illustrated by our very own Scott Johnson. Mm. November's edition is out now for just 99 cents. Get it at tiny.cc/tech history.
Indeed. I couldn't believe that tiny.cc was available.
No kidding. Wow.
It. That'll just take you to the Amazon page. You could also search Amazon for it. But
cool.
Up there now, three illustrations per month per issue. And these are just little cheap dollar singles.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's totally awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Great way to... And then I think at some point we'll put the whole schmear back together in one giant tome if people want to get the sort of omnibus version. It's going to be good. Disturbed Man. Down with the sickness.
Able to cover Land of Confusion very well, almost as well as Genesis's original, Excelsior.
I love that version of that song. It's really good. Yeah, so Disturbed Man gets... I can't say anything with man on it without doing this. I can't help that now. You ruined it. I got $100,000 in plastic surgery to look just like, you guessed it, Justin Bieber.
Jeez.
Joe, why would you... What? I mean, why would you sit around going... and you just think, I got to look like Justin Bieber.
He's a decent-looking guy beforehand. The guy looks like... you know what he looks like? Ricky Schroeder. Looked like Ricky Schroeder beforehand.
Oh, right. Yeah, he kind of did. Why not love Ricky Schroeder and just stick with what you got?
Right.
Anyway, this guy went so far as to do this. Not only is songwriter Toby Sheldon a 33-year-old Justin Bieber fan, his Bieber devotion would blow teeny bopper Beliebers out of the water. I can't stand that term, Belieber. It really does make me want to shit fire. That's because Sheldon went so far as to spend $100,000 on 5 years worth of plastic surgery to make him look a lot like his idol, according to the British tabloid The Closer. A TNT show, I think it is. This is what Sheldon looks like after all that plastic surgery. You guys need to see this. It's gross, and it's got the Uncanny Valley problem, right? Like, it doesn't look right.
No, it does not look right at all.
Oh, yeah, you put the... Oh, jeez. You know, but it... Like, the eyes are kind of there. If you cover up the rest of his pug face, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I worry about a guy like this. I really worry about a guy like this.
And what's he going to do in 5 years when people are saying, Justin who?
Yeah, what? That guy? That guy ended up in that ditch and sells insurance now or whatever? Like, I don't know. Whatever. I understand when people are really into something. Like, if Star Wars fans have every figure in a room where they've got a shrine to all things Star Wars. I think that stuff's cool. That stuff makes sense. Why I'm so horrified by this guy, I don't know.
Well, making your own body a representation of somebody you like. That's the weird part.
Like a girl could get Princess Leia hair buns, and that wouldn't bother me. But if a guy went through tons of work to look like pre-Corvette Summer Mark Hamill, that would weird me out.
Yeah, or even if a woman went through plastic surgery to look like Carrie Fisher.
Right, that's weird. You know,
the permanence basically is the freakiness.
And then what makes it freaky isn't so much that you have the fandom, it's that you're willing to go so far for that fandom. How much further are you willing to go?
Right.
Like, are you willing to stand in line to get their signature, and when they blow you off, does that mean now you are going to slash your face up with a razor blade and then go to their house and throw a bomb at it or something? Like, I don't know. My imagination goes pretty far when people do stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to him.
Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Isn't it Gyllenhaal? Is it Gyllenhaal?
I've always said Gyllenhaal. Is it not? Is it Gyllenhaal?
I don't know. That's a good question.
His sister is Maggie, right?
Right.
Now, which one looks more like a man? I dare you to answer
I think Maggie Gyllenhaal, or Gyllenhaal, however you pronounce it, is adorable.
Okay.
I think
she has two in kind of a grandfather way, like how grandfather's kind of adorable.
Oh, no. She's just cute. She's just.
I'm making more of this than I actually think. I think she's fine.
It's pronounced Gyllenhaal.
Jill. So she in Jill. She's in what's the movie with Will Ferrell she's in? I really like that movie.
Nothing. It's the one with Crick. He's getting his life written. Narrated by Emma Thompson.
Right.
Errol Crick. Stranger Than Fiction.
Stranger Than Fiction. I think she was great in that. I also really liked him in that. That's just a good movie in general. Barry.
Jill.
Oh, Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Jill.
It's you.
Jill.
Barry?
Barry?
Jill.
I'm really embarrassed to see you now. just leave me.
Do yourselves a favor and listen to the Resident Evil soundtrack. It's one of the greatest things I own.
It really is.
It's just a gift that just.
Why don't you give that to the master of unlocking? It's the best. Somebody actually wrote that line.
Yeah, someone said, well, I think you, the master of unlocking, should take it with you. And then he's talking about Chris. They find that blood puddle.
Right.
And he goes, blood. I hope this isn't Chris's blood. You know what? I can't even do it justice. We're going to let him do it.
Yeah.
Blood. Okay. Ready? Here we go. Oh, no, that's not it. Resident Evil. This isn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. Is that this one?
Can a creature like this really be the ultimate biological weapon?
Really? Wesker is a crazy man.
Tyrant is not completely developed.
But we can't let it live. That must be the computer for monitoring this creature. Damn you!
That's not the one. I don't know.
It. A dining room.
Oh, here we go.
What? What is this?
What is it?
Blood. Jill, see if you can find any other clues. I'll be examining this. Hope this is not Chris's blood.
There you go.
Hope this is not Chris.
So good, dude. So good. Where's Wesker? Ooh, what's this? It's creepy. Ooh. Okay, that's music. We don't care about that.
Hey, what's going on?
Jill? Is that you, Jill?
All right. Enough of those guys.
Please tell me that soundtrack is available somewhere commercially. Like,
I think
you can buy
get
that?
It. I think so. I bought it. I don't remember where from, though. And that's all Disc 2 stuff. I think all the voice stuff's on 2, and the first one's like music like this. You know, like Creepy Mansion music and all that.
Right.
It's really good. It's really, really good. All right. Hey, Tweaked Audio would like you to hear the Resident Evil soundtrack in your ears in the best possible style known to man. 5 great styles, 7 great colors. All designs sound great in your music, in your talk, whatever it is you're listening to on your iDevice, your Android device, your Windows phone. Yes, even there. Compatible with all that stuff. Lifetime warranty. TweakedAudio.com is the place. Stream is the code at checkout for 33% off. Brian, let's take a break. When we come back,
okay,
Wendy will be here with some thoughts on a very interesting topic today. At least I think so. But before that, music. What do you got?
All right. Well, we've got something from Joshua Red Mage in the Tadpole. Says, "Dear Silent but Deadly, got to give Daryl some love too. My birthday is Saturday, October 26th. Any day around there would do nicely. Way back when, music played during the breaks would occasionally have mashups. One of them, Enter Telephone, has become one of my all-time favorites. All-time favorite songs, layering the vocals of Lady Gaga's Telephone over the perfectly synced music from Metallica's Enter Sandman. For my birthday, I would love to be surprised with another mashup, preferably something that is also dance pop mixed with metal. Veronica Belmont is great, but my geek goddess nerd crush is Nicole Spag. Sorry, Mark. Whoa. Still a fan, though I've been listening from the beginning. Joshua S. Spell, Red Mage, pretty much everywhere."
I don't know why you had to call Veronica out, but yeah, sure. You know what I mean? Like, you could have just said, "I love Nicole Spag."
Right, I have a geek crush on Nicole Spag, but no, he has to jab one in for Veronica
sure,
as well.
Sure.
Nice. Well done, Joshua.
Yeah.
Just kidding, man. All right. So, well, it's not exactly dance pop and metal. It is hip hop and metal, classic metal. Yeah. It's Black Sabotage. It's the Beastie Boys and Led Zeppelin by DJ Mool from the Best of Booty 2006. I love how you can still download all of these over there at bootyusa.com.
Yeah. Those are always good. I love those things.
They're really, really good. So Black Sabotage right here. Sabotage.
That's right. Don't get that wrong. And don't forget what Brian once said about Veronica.
I got to credit Veronica Belmont for turning me on.
There you go. You got to credit her for that.
The key? Robot arms.
All right. Very nice. Here it is. It's Black Sabotage. We'll be back in a minute with Therapy Thursday and Wendy. Stay tuned.
It's the new style.
How often do you buy Soda Burst, madam?
Well, not too often. It's kind of expensive.
Well, madam, here's good news. They've just lowered the prices of Soda Burst in both the two-pack and the family pack of four.
Oh, bless you. My grandson will be so happy. He's been brooding a lot.
Soda Burst, now at new lower prices. Soda Burst by Birdseye.
I just loved it.
No ticky, no washy. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. That lady has to throw in there that her grandson's been so broody lately. You know what I mean? How out of place is that? Oh, that's great. He's been so broody lately.
Didn't need to know that, ma'am.
He's been torturing small animals. I'm so glad I have this damn pudding. All right. Also, that guy's a big fan of what... The guy I'm doing the announcing in that commercial, which rapper do you think is his favorite? I mean, professional rap artist. Who would you say is his favorite?
Is there a clue as to...
There is. He said it, but I want to see if you caught it.
I did not catch it, but I'm going to guess 50 Cent.
50 Cent, let's find out. Which one was it?
The two-pack.
Oh, the two-pack. Sorry.
The two-pack.
He's into the two-pack.
I did not even catch him say that. That's hilarious.
That's me being stupid. All right, let's call Wendy. It's time for that. There's no turning back. Spoke to her last night. I believe we are on.
Oh, good.
This is the thing we are going to do. We're going to make it count. We're going to hit you where it hurts.
My dog just made a sound like when you say something in iMessage.
Yeah. Oh, she did. Nice. Hi, yeah. Wendy. How's it going?
Good. Wendy. How are you guys?
Fine. Post-Atlanta, Wendy, is what we're dealing with today.
Oh, yeah.
How'd that go?
Good.
Yeah?
Good.
Not the worst time of year to go to Atlanta. It's a little less disgusting and hot, right?
Yeah. Oh, it is gorgeous. Better than
Labor Day.
Fall.
Yeah. Labor Day was bad, as Brian could attest.
Were you there in Labor Day?
He went there for a convention of sorts, and you were there family stuff or something?
Yeah, Adam's, we'll just start with the downer. His sister-in-law's brain tumor came back.
And they had that sucks.
It does, but I'll tell you, if you're going to have brain surgery, people go to Emory in Atlanta, because wow, the difference this time, it was amazing. She's done great, so.
Really?
That was good. And then it was his 20-year high school reunion.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go? Was that weird?
It was awesome.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I could
I'll tell you why it was awesome. Because all of the partners of his friends were super cool. And we all just sat on a table and laughed at the dynamics we were watching and had good conversations.
Oh, good.
But the best part, hope she doesn't listen to the show, but Adam's ex-girlfriend was there.
Oh, nice. Was that awkward or weird at all? Or?
Oh, great. Because she got knocked up a year after they broke up. And so, you know, her life kind of essentially ended at 17, and she has a box of all this stuff they had together. They dated like 2.5 months, by the way.
Wait, did she bring this box of stuff they had
together? No, but she'd mentioned it and then just some other weird things. And what was funny is the whole night she just kind of was near wherever he was.
Oh, weird.
And my newfound friend and I just wanted to take pictures, and we were laughing, and it was not nice, but it was very funny.
Right. Wendy is usually the nice one, but when it comes to 20-year reunions, I think all bets are off. I think that place is for letting the freak fly, is what I think.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And the other thing was, like, everyone was so short.
Really?
And I was like, honey, were you like a monster in high school?
Wait a minute. People were noticeably shorter than...
Oh, noticeably.
Weird.
Yeah. It was like, bring your midget to the reunion night.
Oh,
it was just...
Somebody isolate that audio. Let's use that somewhere else.
Yeah, it was pretty... It was fun. It was a good time. And I know that should not be fun for anyone, but I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm glad you made it back is well on the Dunford front. Everybody listening for the first time, this is Wendy Dunford. She's my sister. She's also a therapist. She comes on Thursdays since the advent of the show and helps people with problems. Today's a little different, though. We're going to just kind of hit a topic that is sort of omnipresent in my mind right now because of a certain move we're making next week. So here's the topic. Starting over and learning how to cope / deal with that concept, especially for kids, teenagers, but even adults. I'm not that stressed about that part of it because most of my social circles that I really depend on live in other parts of the country or the world. And it's not like I've got I have lots of neighbor friends who I like and stuff. And it's all good, but I don't have, like, there's no real super heavy dependencies like you would have as a kid going to high school and your friends and your groups and your whatever that's going on at school. Not to mention just teacher dynamics and grade dynamics, and the certain schools do things differently, and all those things seem to be a bigger deal for somebody in high school. And I can say, as somebody who moved when he was in sixth grade, it was one of the hardest things of my childhood, period. Mm-hmm. I can't think of too many things that bugged me more than moving and not knowing anybody in that first day on the bus and that first day in classes full of people I didn't know. And if I was really to do the math, I'm sure very quickly that all improved. But when you're a kid, that feels like a lifetime.
Yeah.
So the question is this. We're about to move. Other people are in this situation. Some people move all the time if you're a military family or whatever, and you're constantly having to integrate into new societies, new neighborhoods, new subcultures or whatever. How do you deal with it? Like, basically, let me give you my dynamic, and then I want to see where you take this. So I've got a 16-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son who are in this move with us. Taylor's off in an apartment downtown and having, you know, she's living adult life now. So she doesn't really count in this case. Other than it'll be cool living closer to her and stuff, and she'll be home a lot more. But aside from that, it's really affecting these two. So, you know, Carter's in a place at school right now where she's a junior and she's loving it. And they have, you know, these really great like media programs at the school that she's excelling in. And she's kind of a big deal in the school paper and this thing called Thunder Vision, which is like their TV film thing and, you know, all her art stuff. And so she finally has kind of found a real niche-y thing for her in school and has a group of friends that kind of coagulate around that. And for the first time, maybe in all of her school going time, she feels like at home there. Like that feels like a good, healthy place for her. And we're about to uproot her. Now, Nick is in a similar boat, except that he hasn't really found that. Here's what I found. Most of his dude friends are kind of twerps. And they're wishy-washy. And some days they're there and other days they're not. If they're bored and don't have a PlayStation, then they'll come bug Nick. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But suddenly in the last few months, that's all changing. Because they built a new school, and a lot of his friends who weren't in the same school with him before are now in the same school. And so now there's like a lot more friendship happening. And in his mind, in his short life of 13 years, in his mind, this is boomtown right now.
Yeah.
So it's never been better, right? So he's having just all this great friend stuff. So both of them are in these two places that they really like where they're at, and they're both dreading the move. But they're dreading it in totally different ways. I mean, Nick is really dreading it to the point of like when he thinks about it, he goes into mope mode and won't talk to me about it because he's just so sad about moving. Carter, on the other hand, has a lot of Kim in her and is compartmentalizing everything. So she'll occasionally tear up and be a little emotional about it, but then she's fine for a stretch of 3 days until she has to remind herself again that, yes, she is indeed moving. Point of all of that being, every kid's different. Every situation's different. What can people do to cope with life change like this?
Well, I think adolescents deal with it just more intensely than adults do. So it is not a terrible analogy to kind of expand to everyone else. They just maybe express it more, you know? Mm-hmm. And what it is that, and notably, they both find their groove months before you move. Don't you think that's interesting? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you could say, oh, that's terrible timing. But I would assume it's more of a different thing, which is you start to kind of look around you and appreciate what you have. You start to go, wow, I'm going to miss that. Kind of the ordinary things that you didn't even notice before or didn't have any meaning to you before suddenly are, oh, I can't let that go. That matters. It's like a garage sale, right? I have some crap I'm selling on a table. Some dude wants it. And suddenly that has meaning. And you have to pay $12 for that. And they're like,
right.
What are you doing? So it's sort of attaching meaning to things that didn't have meaning before because you know there's change coming, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like pre-loss grieving a little bit. And then you appreciate the stuff that you have. So I'm sure there's a little bit of that going on.
I'm sure of that too. I get that sense.
And a lot of us, change happens without our consent or plan. It just occurs. Mm-hmm. And change and loss, I'm going to kind of use interchangeably because they can be different things, but they can often be very similar. And people tend to not parse it out. They tend to just feel like change equals loss. I'm losing this. This is ending. This is sad. And then, you know, what do I do with that? Well, people handle this very differently. I've told you about my friend who's a potter, and he said, you know, you learn a lot about how someone throws a pot. Sort of like, oh, you're that person when you're throwing a pot and it has to be perfect, or, you know, whatever it might be. And I think change sort of brings out some of our core of, you know, how we kind of handle things. And I think the emotional stuff that shows up is just, that's kind of how you do it. Doesn't mean we can't all do it better, because this is inevitable, right? Think about your life. And sometimes for some people, like me personally, it's harder to be doing the same thing year in, year out than it is for me to have change. I prefer change.
Yeah. You've always been that way.
Yeah. Like, can we do something else now? What are we doing? You know? So I have to struggle with that, but I think others, most people probably, I say the majority, kind of like things to be consistent and the same, because you get a sense of security.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about how we're hardwired, and we are hardwired for safety and feeling, you know, like we belong, that we're connected. All of those group tribal things help us feel like we're going to live longer.
They all drive survival, right? I mean, that's the absolutely. Core idea. Yeah.
So to be plucked out of your survival group into another, you're going to have a pretty strong reaction, and everyone's going to vary. But a lot of it is the meaning you put behind it. So for Nick, is it my life will end? I mean, is that the line in his head?
Yeah.
And if it is, then he should be acting like it's a funeral, because his life is going to end.
Right.
But what he doesn't know is what that next life is like. And I think that's where, I mean, you moved as a kid, I moved as a kid,
mm-hmm.
and you go into this new circumstance and you have to figure out the new rules.
Right.
What's the new code that everyone's following? And I remember when I moved, these twins were in my class and they were super nice, and I would play with them at recess. And then I started expanding and got these other friends, and these other friends made it very clear that these twins were nerds, and I was not, you know, that was not cool to cross over onto the nerd side.
Right. Right.
But of course I had no idea, because I didn't know the new setup. And I mean, this sounds a little weird, but I was a fourth grader. I remember thinking, that's ridiculous. And then I thought, well, I guess I can play with you guys over here, and then I'll play with the twins over here. And like, I don't get why you care. That was not the dynamic I came from. It's not something I understood before then. But suddenly there were all these new rules and these new things that meant you were cool or you weren't, or, you know. And so you have to sort of acclimate and figure out the new rules. And that's exhausting, right? If you think about why we stick in our families or in our communities or what feels safe to us, is because it feels safe, even if it's dysfunctional or irritating.
Right.
So the newness can be, you know, pretty scary. And then you have to navigate how you handle that whole new aspect. So Adam moved from Ohio to Georgia when he was 11. And he was a Yankee. He played soccer, so he was a commie.
What? Wow.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, in every way, he was wrong. And apparently he was much taller than everyone. I hadn't realized till the reunion. Yeah. And he gets there, and he handled it probably the wrong way. He was smart, and he would make sort of accentuate how smart he was. So he was kind of a know-it-all. And then he would say, well, in Ohio, we did it this way. You know, which doesn't fly.
I can't think of a thing that would be less, people would be less interesting than hearing in the South that we did something different in Ohio. That just sounds like, even from this perspective, having not even gone through that, that just sounds like you're asking for trouble.
You're like, hi, I'm a Yankee and I won the war. That's basically what he said. So, you know, he got rejected for a while until he figured out the rules and how to be nice and Southern and not have to lose who he was, but to just, you know, sort of stop bucking everything in the system, right? To sort of get along. And so, I mean, I'm sure Nick, it's going to just take some time. And this is another thing for most people. It takes about a year in a new place before you feel like you feel some significant ownership of that place, or just adjust to it, or stop saying, oh, do you remember how we used to be able to ride our bikes around this park, you know, things you just never really paid attention to before. Suddenly there's nostalgia around it. And
which,
but it takes about
a
year.
For a kid, yeah, which for a kid, a year is like a long time. Yeah.
Right. For Carter, it's graduation. I mean, she'll.
Right.
Her last year will be a rebuilding year.
Yeah. Right.
See, that part freaks me out. The funny thing is she's way less freaked out about it than I probably am for her.
Right.
And whereas Nick is on the opposite side of the scale. He's dreading this so much and having so much anxiety about the change that, you know, it's just, and I'm saying to him, nah, bud, it's cool. You're still in junior high. None of this stuff, you know, solidifies till you're up in high school anyway. And by then you got it all figured out and we're definitely not moving during that time. And but on Carter's end, I'm like, oh, how would this feel if I was being made at my junior year, the best year of high school, in my opinion, you know, made to move somewhere else.
Right.
It's just, that's, I don't know why I'm feeling such a weird bipolar thing with one and not the other. Like,
well,
I feel totally different about one than the other. Right.
I'll tell you, one of the things might be, and you hear it, I hear it today. I will meet with a new client and get their history, and they will no one who has moved doesn't mention it. I mean, obviously I'm getting their history, but it's also like, yeah, I moved at 16 and had to go to a new high school. Or, yeah, it was my junior year or whatever. And my instant reaction is like, oh, yeah, that had to be tough. And it's probably 50-50. Yeah, it was really tough. I hated it. Or, actually, it was really good for me, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think we project our own story of what that would have been like for us, having not really known it or gone through it, but just sort of, oh, I bet that's terrible, you know, sort of that thing. And so she could be going to a school that fits her a million times better. She finds her groove and it's the best thing that ever happens to her. But the reality is her interpretation of that story is what ultimately matters.
Yeah.
And she'll take that strangely with her kind of throughout her life. And I think as parents, you know what a big deal all that is. Why in the world are we going to 20-year reunions if there wasn't some big deal about it?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure. It was a big deal. Whether we look back on it and scoff a little bit or not, high school is that whole period is a just formative thing.
It really is.
Socially and just everything, you know?
And that's why I'm sure that girl kept the little box of things of Adam's.
Yeah, that, I mean, it was real formative for her. Jeez.
It was very formative, sadly. And, you know, I think though, there's also a level of intensity you experience during that period of your life that you kind of never experience again. Mm-hmm. And it's hormonal, it's chemical, it's brain wiring, it's all the hyper social piece to it. There's so much that goes on there. In fact, there's some interesting studies about, you know, people sort of will report never feeling as intensely in love ever again as they did when they were 17 or, you know, whatever those emotions were. It's just the heightened period. And so knowing that as an adult, it's hard to say, hey kids, let's go move and you'll figure it out and not worry about it.
Yeah.
I think one thing you could do with them is to talk through the story making process, which is, you know, really you get to choose if this is the worst thing that ever happened to you or a good thing that's happened to you. Because in the end, it's not going to be terrible. She's not sold into slavery. This is really not the worst thing that could happen to her.
No.
But her interpretation of it, what she does with it, all of that is what ultimately creates the story that, you know, if she wants it. And Nick similarly, I mean, 13, that's the worst.
Yeah, it is the
Nothing
worst.
Nothing good happens then anyway. You know what I mean?
And he had something happen to him the other day that I'm probably not supposed to talk about publicly, but I'm going to mention it just in brief. So this girl he's kind of liked, you know, and she's always kind of liked him. She's a really sweet, nice looking little girl. And they've been in classes together and stuff. And she said to him, because just imagine this at 13, says to him, do you like me? And he said, yeah, you know, I guess so, or whatever boys do. And she immediately freaked out and decided that the second she asked him and found out that he liked him, it freaked her out and she doesn't want to like him anymore.
Right.
So she sent her the saddest little note where it's all girly girl talk too and lots of smiley faces and frowny faces and all that crap. But this sad little, I don't think I can like you anymore because now that I know you like me, I just feel like it would be weird. So I don't want to, but, and she moved tables at lunch and all this weird stuff. And the poor kid just kind of going, oh, okay. Like he's a softie and this kind of stuff really, you know, gets him. So in his head, I know where he's at. He's just thinking, ah, this and a thousand other things burning with the heat of a million suns are waiting for me at this new school where I don't know anyone. And it's hard for him. Carter's more like, yeah, this is crazy, but it's kind of an adventure. Whee! And I can't get one or the other to have more of the other side. Like, there are things about Nick's approach that I think would help Carter in some ways, and there are things about Carter's approach that would definitely help Nick. But, man, the twain never meet.
Yeah.
And they're the best of friends, too, but I can't get them to share each other's weird proclivities toward, you know.
There, and there tends to be sort of a predisposition for one or the other, you know. And we have pessimism-optimism scales and extrovert-introvert things and, you know, all these ways that there's sort of two kinds all the time with anything, you know. But I think something to be – and it's on my mind. On Monday, I went to a grief training. So like the first woman to study death and dying, was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Maybe you guys have heard of her.
Oh, you've mentioned her name on the show before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of it. And it was the '60s, you know, no one talked about death before then apparently, or knew anything about it. And she studied everything and did a ton of work with Mother Teresa and just some cool stuff. And her protege was the guy that did the training. And, it was a one depressing day. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, he shared a bunch of different stories and different things and, you know, just how we handle loss and the grieving process and what that looks like. And this concept of complicated grief, which is you don't let the process happen. You stop it. You refuse to feel anything. You avoid, you know, you sort of get stuck in angry phase or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, I think this applies to everything in life when we have change is we have to grieve and sort of let a natural process occur. And it doesn't mean you have to publicly do it. You don't have to go to school and cry, but to make sure that you allow both kids, like, and I say allow by maybe just giving them permission to say, hey, if you're, you know, sad, be sad. Mm-hmm. Like it's not always, they don't always need a cheerleader that says, hey, you know, you need to feel good about this because you don't want to feel bad that you're making a decision that's affecting them. You let them understand there's a natural grieving process for change and for loss because you're losing everything you've known up to this point. Maybe don't describe it like that, but you're losing everything. But just, you know, the give them permission to be frustrated or angry even at you or, you know, to allow those emotions to come and promise them that they will go because they will. Yeah. But to stop it and just, you know, I think that that's a common thing for anyone when they face change or when they face loss is, you know, they sort of stick. They either don't roll with it or they're trying to be too positive and they don't allow themselves to be a little bit sad and to, you know, we're always so afraid of just any emotion that isn't pleasant.
Right.
That we want it to go away as soon as possible rather than let it take its course. And this concept of complicated grief comes when people refuse to grieve. They refuse to let the process occur and it will just do it on its own. And so they'll figure it out. But I think you just give them permission that whatever they feel is fine and it can change and it will. It will change every day probably. Yeah. And that, you know, time helps and eventually it'll be part of their story that they moved when they were 13 and it was really hard. And then I found some of my closest friends or, you know, whatever. And maybe they never found close friends, but I had some great teachers or, you know, you let them kind of figure out their story with a little guidance, but also I think a big thing. And I think this is true of anybody is just permission to feel whatever comes along, you know?
And if I could add anything to it, I would say, hopefully you've been doing this already, people out there, if it deals with your kids directly, but just have as open a kind of have all the paths of communication as open as possible and have them always sort of permanently open. In other words, don't have it so your 13-year-old, you know, doesn't have a way to talk to you about it or doesn't feel like he can or feels like he's just trapped. Well, this is what we're doing and I can't say anything to anybody, you know, be that thing. I just got a text from Carter from school. She says, so this is what's in her head right now, because we've been making a point of every night whenever we've got boxes everywhere. The place looks like a hoarder house right now. It's ridiculous. And we're like, all right, we're going to calm down. We're going to watch something together on TV. We're going to share the experience. It's going to be something nerdy. Right now we're watching Battlestar Galactica all the way through, and we're already on season 4 and almost done with the thing. We've been doing it, you know, every other night for a while now. First text I get from Carter today is, dude, we're watching a movie with Admiral Adama in it. And I wrote back, is it Stand and Deliver? And she goes, yes, how did you know? And I said, because that's what the stuff they show in the in whatever. And I said, has he said, how do I help these kids yet? And she laughed. So my point is, not that we're a shining example of this, but
the point is, man, sometimes I wish I had a girl.
get in deep with them. Like get in and be so involved that you're all on the same page all the time. You're laughing about the same crap. You know what they're dealing with, and you can laugh it off or cry it off together. Like that stuff's just so, it seems obvious to say it all now that I'm saying it, but it makes such a huge difference. So when the big changes do come,
but let me clarify something you're saying is that what you're saying, translation, is don't make it about you.
Yeah.
Because what happens is we want them to have a pain-free ride through life. And so if you're making it about you because you're stressed because it's a money thing, or you really are ambivalent, don't want to do it. Oh, Pete's coming to say hi. Come here, Pete. Where's your dad? Come here. Can you say hi? He'll say hi. Say hi. Say hi. Hi. Say hi, guys.
Hi. Hi,
say
Pete.
Banana.
Oh my god. That's all right. Bananas are terrible now. I've had this argument for a while, so he doesn't need to ask for them. It's fine. They're genetically devoid of taste. I've decided.
Yes, devoid of taste and any nutrient, right?
Yeah, okay, exactly.
So my point is, if you make it about you and you make your like you can't keep that your crap in your own sphere, it's really easy to not allow someone else to have their feelings, right?
Right.
So if you, Scott, were really ambivalent, you kind of weren't into this house and it's all about Kim and she's making me move and you were really having a hard time, you'd be like, yeah, guys, this is the worst. You know, you could kind of, you're fine. I'm giving Adam permission to go. We got it. We had double flat tires. We got a flat tire the other day, and then we put the spare on, and like 10 minutes, the spare was flat.
What the heck?
Oh, no.
That's not good. Right?
Isn't that against some kind of law?
Not
Murphy's law.
Not Murphy. Yeah, Murphy's. Yeah. Murphy thinks that's cool.
Murphy's law, and then I realized, no, wait, that is
Officer.
Officer Murphy is at home right now going, nice. Looks like that was right.
That worked really well. So anyway, what am I saying? Okay, so yeah, you don't make it about you. You got to kind of keep that in check.
Yeah.
So when you go on you build a relationship with your kid, there's another, you know, you're always involved, obviously. Keeping your crap completely out of it's pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, try to maybe step back and go, okay, how do I feel about all of this? How about my own grief or my own loss? I'm sorry to make this about death, but on Monday, this guy was talking about how the vast majority of people, when a child dies, they talk to the mother and they make sure the mother's okay. And then when they speak to the father, they'll ask how the mother is doing.
Oh, wow.
And so the message, unintentional consequence of that, is that men are then sort of restricted in their grieving and socially appropriate. Everyone's letting you know that it's not okay for you to be as sad, and we're going to just, you got to be the fixer and make sure it's okay. And, you know, and he has his own, he lost a child too. And, you know, so there's sort of that complicated part of what we do. We don't intentionally do it, but sometimes we make it about whatever's the most comfortable thing. Like it'd be easier to focus on Carter because she has moments of positivity, right?
Yeah.
And making this better for her. And Nick mopes around and won't talk to you. You sort of have to go, okay, well, Nick, figure it out. You know? But again, it's maybe your story you have going on that you got to check. And this is a positive move, right?
It is. It should be on all, in all things. It's a important move for everybody, and it's a good move for everybody. And even there are things about it for Nick and Carter that are positive, and they'll both admit to those things. Right. It's just, you know, it's just still hard. And no matter how much I tell him, hey, Nick, when I was your age and we had to move, I didn't have Skype. I didn't have Minecraft. I didn't have these 30 other ways that you literally could stay connected with your friends.
Yeah.
And he already sort of does this same stuff with anyway. He's on Skype with his friend Breton playing Minecraft on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock. That's not a thing I could do at 13. When I was 13, 30 minutes away meant probably never going to see you guys again.
Right.
Never going to hear from you ever again. In his case, totally. He actually literally doesn't have to live that way. He can actually right. still keep in touch with these guys in meaningful, free, convenient ways.
And the thing about that is nothing's actually changed. He can still do that, but your friendships will diminish just like they did if before Skype.
Yeah.
And that's normal.
Yeah. BS, it's we call normal. It before Skype.
Yeah. And it's okay. And he'll figure it out and he'll find new people that he'll Skype with that he lives 10 seconds away from.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, it's going to be what it is. But one point I want to make is that positive change also needs to be grieved by many of us. And we don't think that. We think, oh, we got this new job and it's perfect and I love everything about it. Why am I sad?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's because you have, it's not only negative, hard things that are thrust upon you that you have to grieve the loss and the change. It's positive. It's, you know, this, I'm doing exactly what I want. Why am I not thrilled? It's because you still need to let go some of what your former existence and life was, right?
Right.
You know, you take anyone who's been diagnosed with cancer or some kind of wake up call experience, suddenly like the leaves changing this time of year, they just can't get enough,
right?
The thought of I'll never see this again or it's possible, you know, just that type of thing is, it's a survival mechanism as well, right? But think about, what if we all lived that way all the time? We'd probably be exhausted. Right. No one would get work done.
Yeah. Everyone always says they want that, but I always feel like there would be negative consequences to that.
There
kind
would.
Of intensity.
There would.
Yeah.
But I think we should need to adopt a little of it. And I think moving in that contrast of loss right in your face can kind of create a similar thing of like, wow, look at all this stuff I'm gonna not see. And it will pass and he'll find new things and it'll work out. But I think you got a couple points. You let them, give them permission to feel whatever they want to feel and they're going to feel and, you know, and then not do your best not to make it about you. And
yeah,
and that's hard to do, but it's.
Today's topic was almost, this is the truth. It was almost not this. And it was almost how to not be a ultra control freak that won't let people help you, because I'm having a really hard time. Kim's like, should we let people know when we're putting boxes in the truck? Should we let people know that we need a few hands and we'd get through it quicker? And my answer is always, nah, I think we got this. Let's not. Yeah. We don't need to. I'm terrible at accepting help from people.
Right. And horrible. You're a hoarder. So that means there's a lot of stuff.
And I'm not a hoarder. We got rid of so much stuff. You'll be shocked how little we actually, on the whole, if you take it all as a whole, like how little we're moving, it's amazing. I mean, we're pretty much done. We got to move some furniture and that's it. So it would blow people away who think I keep too much stuff. But the main thing is, like, I'm nowhere near Dad. Dad was a freaking pack rat for sure. I wouldn't call him a hoarder, but he was definitely a pack rat. But what was my point? My point is I'm unable. There are willing, strong backed people texting me going, hey, what time are you guys doing that? I can, I'm like, oh, I think we're, I don't know why I haven't, I resist it.
I asked you last night. I said, can we come help? And you said, well, it's on a Tuesday and Tuesday's a weird day.
Yeah. I'm like apologizing for the day we're doing it. Like,
I know.
I don't know why I do that. I think Dad did it too. All the time. He hated that. He hated help, but I don't know what my problem is. I should just be like, yeah, dude, we'll be done way quicker. Come on down. Right. But in my head, I'm going, well, this isn't fun. And you guys live way up north in Salt Lake City. And why would you want to drive an hour and a half out here to do it? And that sucks. You have better things to do. You have kids to raise and stuff going on. Like that's where my head goes every time.
Right. And of course, if someone asks you for help, you wouldn't think twice about
any of
those.
No, of course. Things. You just go, yeah, sure, dude. What time? Like, no big deal. I don't know why I do that. It's an irritating feature. I don't like it. I'd like to.
Are you that way, Brian?
I am, yeah, but I'm trying to get better. No, but I mean, I'm exactly the same way. You know, I'll be working on something. I'm working on stuff for the Coverville DVDs right now. Actually, Scott can attest to this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going to do this and do this. And I've got a couple people saying, well, here, can I help you out with that? And I'm like, oh no, I think I got this. Mm-hmm.
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
And you got too much to do now.
Yeah, I have too much
exactly
to do.
Right.
Exactly.
I have this giant list. I mean, I could tell you stories, but I won't.
I've started doing this, which, because I'm definitely that way, but I assume everyone else is, right? So, you know, this friend had a miscarriage yesterday, and I know what that's like. And I was like, all right, what would I need? And how can I play off that I'm just like the crazy friend and be like, hey, I'm like 4 minutes from your house. I have dinner. I'm going to take your kids. You don't have a choice. Yeah. And she's like, I mean, almost when you just take charge, they relent because they're like, yeah, all right. Because
yeah,
they really do
relax.
Need that.
Yeah.
Right? And and then I know it would work for me. I mean, someone would actually have to do that. So I actually thought last night, I'm like, I'm just going to show up at Scott's house on Tuesday with four kids.
Gloves on. Exactly.
Yeah. Four kids with all gloves on. Yeah, no, I need to get better at that. It's just stupid that it can be insulating is the problem.
Yeah.
Because if you're not letting other people help you, you forget what it means to be helped, and probably affects your ability to help others. I mean, Kim's the opposite of this. She wants to go help everybody all the time and overdoes it in that way probably. She gets taken advantage of sometimes, but for the most part, it's probably a good thing. And so I don't know. Maybe I have a few days now. I could probably.
Yeah. This would be a good little homework assignment for you. Why don't you?
Yeah. It's just, I never want to be called. I never want to be dependent on anything or anyone.
Sure.
I hate that feeling of
dependency. You never want to be called. Right. You never want to be called a freeloader.
Freeloader. Like, never. Freeloader.
Yeah.
I never want to be a freeloader.
Once moving in your lifetime puts you in that category. Well, I don't think you
remember this, but when we moved last time, it was 2004, and we virtually had nobody help. And it wasn't because nobody offered. It wasn't any of those things. We just we kind of did it in the dead of night. We kind of did it without telling too many people. And we boxed it up, put it in a truck, and drove it. And everything went fine. So there's, this is how I've always done it. And I think I got it from... That was the 80s and the dad all that dad stuff. Remember all that? The business stuff and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just put me on a weird path, and now I'm ultra controlly about it. So I gotta lighten that up.
Yeah, it up. And what you do is you just pick like one or two.
Yeah. Big strong guys.
Yeah.
Big,
that's all.
Big tough dudes. That's all I need.
So if you paid someone to do it, would that be better?
Yeah, I would totally do that. We considered it, but we didn't do it. Those guys are weird. Moving guys are like, yeah, it's like $200 for the whole thing. Oh, great. Plus gas and miles. Oh, what do you charge for that? Oh, I don't know. Something ridiculous and stupid and way over the top and totally unaffordable. Like that's...
You're like, oh, yeah, that's good advertising. I'll do that.
Yeah. But we don't really have big furniture this time. The fridge is staying. The hot tub's staying. Like all these things are staying that would normally make us all groan and just staring at it. So it's really just beds, a couple of chairs, and we sold our couch. Like we're pretty lean. So whatever help we got would be... it'd be a speed thing because there's lots of boxes, so that would just be boom, boom, boom instead of boom, boom, boom.
Right.
It'd be a lot faster. So anyway, a topic for a different day, perhaps, or maybe we just made it one. I don't know.
We double duty today. That's what I think.
Difficult to say. Wendy, always have fun hanging out. You got any causes or anything?
I do.
What do you got?
I have a good one. Okay. So I told you previously about the, HealCourageously.org. It's the people who are diagnosed and sick and dying, and not necessarily dying, but maybe they recover, whatever. But these professional photographers come in and do a photo shoot of your family. Mm-hmm. Really beautiful work. These are some incredible photographers. Anyway, fun, really good cause. So they are in, I think it's called the Coda Gallery. It's in Park City. Friday night, they're having an opening of all the work that they've done.
Oh, cool.
If you go to the website, you can look at it and kind of figure that out, but you can see some of the images there. It's really powerful. I'll tell you, if you are having a grumpy day and you don't have good reason for it, it's a good thing to look at.
See, I usually watch a Cops episode for that, but you're telling me this.
Yeah. That's same idea.
Yeah.
This one's a little more like,
it's more
cathartic. That might really happen to me. Yeah, it's pretty intense. Anyway, so that's this Friday. Somebody go.
Park City. Cool. Coda is the gallery. I know that gallery. It's a nice one. It's big.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful over there. And if you've ever been there, you'll know what I'm saying. So yeah, go do that. Support it. What's the website again?
HealCourageously.org.
Nice. ORG, everybody.
So I'm in this grief training, and I mentioned the website and this idea of documenting the dying as, and it's been around forever. But back in the day, they used to sneak pictures because it was not socially acceptable,
Really?
Anyway, so I mentioned the website, and you can see 45 people writing it down because that's their job, is they know all these people who are dying. So anyway.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully your audience, not quite in the same boat, but they could appreciate it.
There's a few. We got a Facebook that I'll read before the end of the show today about somebody who's just got in the hospital with a sort of brain hemorrhage thing. I mean, we get stuff like that all the time. So I am sure you guys can commiserate, and it sounds like a good cause. So go support it.
Yeah. Okay.
Fantastic, Wendy. Have a great week.
Hey,
we'll you see too. You next time.
Yeah. Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Sounds like I might see her Tuesday.
Right.
By the way, the person, here it is. Joseph sent me this message on Facebook, which I don't check often, so I'm glad I did this morning. Joseph Laverne and the Tadpool. Well, this is from Vlad who sent this. Joseph and the Tadpool could use some love. His grandma's in the hospital with severe brain hemorrhaging today. So thinking about Joseph there.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, hang in there, Vlad.
Yeah. Well, Joseph. Vlad's the one that just told us about it, yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. I guess it's Joseph's grandmother. Anyway, yeah, we always like hearing how you guys are doing both the bad and the good. Especially when you send us emails. We have one here now brought to us by
the wrong page.
Yeah.
Hold on, Zach. Brand new Frog Pants TV is out. Part 2 of Scott's time in the Stanley Parable. Oh, very cool. Get it at frogpants.com/TV.
I'm going to try this weekend to get the rest done before I move because I know it'll be a while before I can get the next part up. But that game is great. Amazing. Grady wrote in, says, Dear Spaghetti and Bigoli. What's a Bigoli?
Bigoli. I don't know.
Is that a thing? Must be a
Sylvia
thing.
Bigoli.
A little NPR there. I was recently pursuing the depths of Reddit and came across a subreddit dedicated to America's Wang and the oddities found therein. It's /r/Florida Man. They even have a superhero mascot, Florida Man Stanley's voice. That's at reddit.com/r/Florida Man. And I think this is based on the same
Twitter
account, I think.
Yeah.
But there is some stuff in here, so I have decided it's going to be my go-to when I'm out of news, man.
Just go to the Reddit.
Yeah, look at these things. Florida man and two women arrested for killing child with a blanket. Florida man seeks friends. Florida model claims boyfriend repeatedly walked into the knife after his dog ate her margarine.
No, marijuana.
Or marijuana, sorry. Her margarine. I get margarine and marijuana mixed up all the time.
That's probably not a good thing to get mixed up.
Florida man attacks man with his sandwich during road rage fight.
Sandwich.
There's some good stuff in here. So,
Jimmy John's, man, that would hurt.
Oh, what if you get the well, all their bread's kind of stiff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a good way of putting that, or not. There you go.
No, what's one of my favorite places to get subs, and I love the bread, but it ain't your floppy blimpy bread, I'll tell you that.
I might go there today.
I might go there today.
Now, if you want lacerations, you get your the other one. Quiznos, that'll give you lacerations.
Right, because of the crusty burns.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Those things are rough. That's it for now. We'll do more emails on Monday, and we will be back. No, wait, we'll be here Monday? Hold on.
Monday we should be, right?
I will not be here. No, because Monday I am at the bank signing all morning.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
We get keys that day, and we hopefully can start moving early that day. For sure, if not that Tuesday. But here's the other problem. On Sunday night, I have special hardware coming to the house to disassemble all my desk stuff.
No disassemble.
After film sacks. And when we wrap up those two film sacks,
wow.
I'm kind of podcast incognito until I get it all set up again. So I'm hoping that's Monday, at the very least Tuesday. So here's what I hope happens. I hope we can do a show Wednesday. It will depend on the internet people. If I don't have the internet people by then, I know I'll have them that day. So assuming that all works right, we should be able to do a show Thursday. And then one the following Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. Except you're flying Wednesday, aren't you that week?
We'll have a Halloween spooktacular.
Do you leave Wednesday or Thursday?
I leave Thursday. I fly Thursday morning. So the 7th there will be no show for sure.
Yeah. That's the day there won't be a show.
Because I leave early because I'm getting there and I'm actually going to try and hit Disneyland on Thursday rather than do the Sunday deal.
Yeah. So that makes sense. So we'll just, I don't think there'll be a show. Obviously there won't be a show that Thursday, but we'll try to have shows Monday through Wednesday that week. And then when BlizzCon is over.
Yeah.
The following Monday through I don't know how long, we're not going to miss shows.
Thanksgiving, right.
Yeah, at least Thanksgiving week. And beyond that, I mean, I have that wedding in January, but there's not a ton else other than holiday
around
stuff.
Around Christmas, there'll probably be a show missed here and there. But
right. But we'll get back on track. So again, all you guys who sit around going, I can't believe it. You know, there are some, most people are kidding with us now, but there are a few people who think that are seriously concerned. Do not concern yourselves. This would be like saying, I'm sick of my right arm. I'm just going to cut it off. Exactly, that's what this would be like if we ended the show right now. Come on.
Oh yeah. No, I'd give up Lyrics Undercover long before I gave this up.
Yeah, there are, I can name shows.
Be
I'd
right
give
up there with Coverville. But,
there are others I can't. I wouldn't say on the air which I would give up, but there are shows I would definitely give up before I'd ever give this one up. It's like not even a contest. So quit worrying yourselves. If we miss a day, we miss a day, but it's not. We're not going away. And what other podcast do you listen to that records at least four times a week, sometimes more, with other stuff we do?
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we're here. We're here for you as much as we can be.
Yeah. Don't start up your Friday show petitions again, though. We can't do that right now. We got too many other things on Friday. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. Oh, you know what? Cleo around? What?
Yeah, she's around. She's in the tadpole.
Haven't had her Cleo on in a while.
Cleo. It's right. Cleo.
Let's get her in here. There we go. Yeah, we missed a couple of weeks in a row because of something, hoo-ha, what? I don't remember what. Mm-hmm. Why do we? I don't remember. Last week we didn't.
Well, you had a client thing last week.
That's what it was.
And I think she was unavailable the week before, so I had to read it off.
That's right. Hey, it's Cleo. What's going on?
I'm sorry, I can't help you unless I have your customer number.
Ooh, I like your deep lady voice this morning.
Do you like my deep lady voice? Yeah. This is courtesy of a virus. Oh, thank you, 14-year-old child.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's good times for everybody. Well, are you? You sound like you're at least living and doing all right.
Oh, I have no time to be sick. I just get up and keep going. I don't have time for that crap.
Brilliant. This is the deal. We bring Cleo in on Thursdays, and she kind of sums up the week, some of the more poignant moments from the chat room and otherwise. I can't wait to hear today's what's going on.
All right. These are from all over the place, since it's pretty much going to be a month of points. I don't know where any of this crap comes from. Let's see how smart the tadpole is for remembering their stuff. Let's see. The first one goes all the way back to the day Scott got his flu shot.
Oh.
So that's how far back we're going.
It's about 2 weeks.
Yeah. Scott's flu shots. Let's see. You got your injection in Dr. Naylor's office, and Justin J.H. said, please tell me that Dr. Naylor is a gynecologist.
Naylor. L-O-R. Naylor. Got it. Naylor.
Just you got your injection. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Now, this one, I'm going to say, in looking back at it, because I wrote it and it was really funny, I think it has something to do with, you know, the big flying death bugs in China. Yep. I'm not 100% sure, but just stay with me on this, because regardless, out of context, it's fabulous.
All right.
So El Bacho said 6-inch flying things is my stripper name. And Jester quickly followed up with, that's interesting, because kind of a hot mess and looks funny was his stripper name. And somewhere they were connected, and I don't know how, but it worked out great.
Hot mess. I don't remember that at all. But.
You said that. You said, I'm kind of a hot mess and looks funny. And then somebody just went, hello, and jumped on it. So there we go. You were talking about 72-year-old Survivor Man. Do you remember that conversation at some point?
I do remember that, yep.
N said that while you would think that an elderly Survivor Man would be a character you'd find on Game of Thrones, it's much more likely that you'd find him in a show called Game of Cards in the Park.
All right. Nicely done. Nice.
Tuesday, we're talking about Britney's new show in Las Vegas.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Man Before Time said, living on the strip full time might be frightening for some people, but it's really a rich cultural experience because after all, you've got cities in your mouth all the time.
Yeah, you do. Brian knows that. First in the
cities in your mouth.
Yeah.
Cities in your mouth.
Sounds like gorgeous news.
All right.
Sorry. That's so bad. Today's big winner, and I'm going to say the winner for the month because I just can't find anything else. When you talked about Apple stuff, a crazy poet said, the ultimate tool is my Justin Bieber cover band.
Oh, that's the truth. I'm a believer in that right there.
You are.
Fantastic work. I hope you feel better, though. Colds suck.
Oh, I feel fine. It's just I sound like Marge Simpson's sisters, but I'm doing okay.
All right. Well, take it easy. Let's do this again soon, okay?
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
When people sending you food, keep sending them to your current address and just let the post office deal with it or what?
No. In fact, I would tell people, this is a good point, a service announcement. Don't send anything new between now and the next I tell you because I don't know the new address yet, but B, I don't know about timing and stuff or forwarding. So I would say don't ship anything until end of next week, and by then I'll be able to let people know what it is. So,
I love that you don't know the new address.
I really don't. Kim knows it. Kim knows it. I have no idea.
Where do you live? I don't know.
It's going to take me a month or two to even remember it, and I hate that change. Ugh, and I'll be writing it wrong. People say, what's your address? And I'll start doing the old one. Ugh. 10 years, man. 10 years.
Yeah.
It's hard to change.
I know I went through it last December, so
we got a new zip about 7 years ago, and I remember that just about put me in the hospital. I couldn't remember my stupid new zip.
Do you still write bad checks for 2012?
If I wrote checks anymore, then the answer would probably be yes. But Kim does all that, so if anyone's writing bad checks, it's my wife.
Checks.
You know, checks. What the heck are checks? All right, have fun. Stay out of trouble. Eat your Wheaties. Don't eat the yellow snow. And we'll catch you next time. Bye now.
See ya.
She's shamefully thick and butterscotchy.
Shamefully thick and butterscotchy.
Especially with that voice.
Yeah,
wow.
I like it. Deep and awesome. All right. I'm going to listen to some.
The two-pack.
And, what's this? I got a fries
just got
are done.
A text or something, yeah.
Fries are done. Let's see what's going on here. Oh, it's my daughter. The other daughter. She says, Kim found her ring. Taylor's ring she'd been missing because we've been cleaning stuff out. She says, is this yours? She said, yes. I said, well, it's definitely not mine. She says, where'd you find it? I said, Mom found it in the cat's bum. She said, please wash it.
So anyway. It's like that coffee, like the civet cat coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Capowilliac or whatever it's called. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It shouldn't be allowed. It shouldn't be a thing you could get. I think it's disgusting.
Right.
Is it from cats? It's from cats.
Yeah. Yeah. Civet cat.
That's disgusting. It's not pudding.
This new cool and creamy pudding is not pudding.
It's cat. It's cat
pudding.
Crap.
It's pudding.
Are you sure it's pudding?
Disguised as pudding.
Pudding. Pudding.
All right. We are going to leave you now. Thank you, everybody, for helping us out. Thanks, everybody, who was on the show today. If you want more information about everything we do, frogpants.com/TMS. Follow us on Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. You can also find us via email, themorningstream@gmail.com. We're on Facebook and everything else. So hunt around, search around, you'll find it. That's it. We're done.
Yeah.
I would like
to
say,
yes, by the way, there will be a Coverville today.
1,002.
1,001.
One. Wait.
Yeah. 1,000 was last week. Did you listen, by the way?
I downloaded it. I have not heard it yet, but I've got it.
Cool. Oh, you're going to love it. You're mentioned in there, obviously, because of the whole thing is the Nerdtacular audio, concert audio.
Oh, great. Oh, no, I knew you were doing this. Duh. Of course.
Yeah.
It's great.
So that was episode 1,000. So today will be 1,001. It'll be the first show in the quote unquote new format. And because we've got birthdays for Shelby Lynn and Shaggy, two people that you would never see at the same concert.
Wow, yeah.
We're going to have mini cover stories within the show. So one for each of them and some a cappella stuff on today's show, some requests, lots of fun stuff on today's Coverville.
That sounds fantastic. So tune in.
1,001.
Coverville.com, everybody, and right here live. Okay.
Yeah,
we're done.
A little earlier than usual, by the way, probably. I'll probably shoot for 2 o'clock instead of the usual 3.
And people should watch for that on Twitter.
Watch for the Twitter. Yeah, I'll tweet it. Tweet it.
Sounds good to me. All right. Music. Let's do some music.
Yes, music. All right. This one comes from Geek Girl in the Tadpole, the purveyor of fine, creator of fine handmade scarves and gloves like we have. And she'll have a booth at Nerdtacular 14. I think she's even going to have some stuff at BlizzCon, if I'm remembering correctly. Am I imagining that? Maybe I'm imagining that.
That'd be awesome if it was.
It'd be better if you did. she writes in and says, hey, Pinky and the Brain, this is a song request for my youngest son, Caden's first birthday that is on October 23rd. Aw, congratulations. Aww. This is the first, a great orchestral version of the music from the cartoon Tom and Jerry. It was a rough start with Caden in the NICU for the first week of his life, but he healed up like a champ, and now I can't believe my sweet baby boy is one. Aww. We love you, little guy, to the moon and back. Love Mommy and Daddy, a.k.a. Geek Girl and Jared.
Aww. Aww. I love kids.
So sweet. Yeah. So this is interesting. You don't hear much orchestral music on TMS in the breaks, but this will take you back totally to the syndicated. You know, you'd race home from school and you'd turn on the TV and eat, you know, a bowl of cereal again while you watched Tom and Jerry cartoons. This is recorded at MGM or for the BBC. It's recorded performed by the John Wilson Orchestra. And it's Tom and Jerry music.
Nice. I love Tom and Jerry.
A medley.
Woo! Oh, no, that wasn't him. Sorry.
No, that was Tom.
I think that was Goofy I just did. Isn't it?
Oh.
Tom would do that.
Well, it was Goofy, but it might have been Tom.
Tom would do. More like that.
Right. Okay. But you listen in, and if you find the video, the video is great online because there's a whole sound effects section along with the string instruments and horns and stuff like that, where there's guys breaking plates into trash cans and screaming and stuff like that. You'll hear it and you'll love it.
All right. I'm in. So here it is. It's illegal, immoral, and fattening.
Illegal, immoral, or fattening.
It's Tom and Jerry at the MGM. We'll be back on, I don't know when. When are we saying? Hopefully Wednesday?
Wednesday, yes.
We're aiming for Wednesday, guys, okay?
Wednesday, then we'll be here for a Thursday Halloween spooktacular.
Ooh, yeah. So we're hoping for at least two episodes next week if we can help it.
Exactly.
And more if we can, but we'll let you know. The big move is afoot. This is the last chance. There's no other turning back. So we'll do the best we can. Don't think we're pod fading. We'll see you next week. It's Tom and Jerry. Bye.
Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Fly from your grave.
The University of Advancing Technology is the Technophiles College, a community that gives students passionate about tech an ideal place to grow. UAT is a private college in Tempe, Arizona that merges traditional academia, innovative teaching, and cutting-edge tech. Learn in an applied setting that extends from faculty and classes to projects, internships, and competitions. Students experience and create in areas like cybersecurity, visual effects, and robotics. Learn more about UAT's undergraduate and graduate degrees at uat.edu.